It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and we are still talking about the new words that were added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2025. We are beginning the section that was added in June. Should we do this whole NPR thing throughout the whole episode? I don't think so. It's nice, maybe another day, another time, but not right now. All right, the first word in this episode is advance poll, two words. Now, the March section had a theme. There were a lot of foreign words, places from other parts of the world that we were taking their words, adding them to the English dictionary. So let's see if this June section is going to have a whole other theme, or does it keep on going with that same theme? I don't know. Let's find out. All right, advance poll is a noun. It is an early poll for voters who expect to be unavailable or absent from their riding on election day. Now, riding here is R-I-D-I-N-G. Now, that makes me think of riding a horse, not a riding with your hand or a keyboard. An early poll for voters who expect to be unavailable or absent. I mean, I've heard of, oh, it's a poll. It's not the voting. Yes, I have to remember this is the poll. Who will be absent, unavailable or absent from their riding on election day. So is riding, the word riding, noun, second form, to be, is that like a type of a poll or something? I don't think I'm familiar with this word. So advance poll, like, hey, I can't do the thing, but I'll do it advance. I'll do it in advance of the other thing. You could take my opinion. You could poll me on my answers. Who do I think is best to run this government? We'll do it before everybody else. We'll do an advance poll. All right, next we have Anglo-Dutch. Two words with hyphens. The first with one hyphen. Just there's only one hyphen in this situation. The first letters are capitalized. This is an adjective, and it is of belonging to or involving both England or Britain and Holland or the Netherlands. They got two names or two versions or two, depending on your context. You're either using England or Britain or Holland or the Netherlands, and anything that involves both of those, that would be Anglo-Dutch. England-Holland, Britain-Netherlands, England-Netherlands, or Britain-Holland. Did I do all four options? I think I did. Okay, Anglo-Dutch. Next is anti-alias. A-N-T-I hyphen A-L-I-A-S. Noun. This is in the computer graphics world, and it is a smoothing or blurring process used to reduce distortions, such as jagged outlines or moiré patterns, that arise when an image dot dot dot. Boy, I definitely remember dealing with anti-alias many, many, many years ago when I was first learning about Photoshop and the computers. Geez, this must have been in the 90s. Yeah, I think this would have been in the 90s when I was learning about it. Let's see. It smooths out jagged stair-step edges on digital images by blending pixels with intermediate colors to create the illusion of a continuous curve or diagonal line. And so when you look up pictures of this, you will see that regular, just aliasing without the anti-aliasing, it's a very hard edge when you zoom in on those pixels. But anti-aliasing will add some, it'll either change the pixels, change the color or the shade of the pixels on the edges to be more smooth, makes it look a little bit nicer, I think, or it's adding other pixels to smooth that out. So if it goes from black to white, it's going to add some shades of gray in there. And it's kind of a funny, I don't know the reason why we're using the word aliasing, and then anti-aliasing is the opposite of that. And so I think when I was young, I was confused, like, well, if it's anti, then we're getting rid of the thing. I always mix the two up. I couldn't remember which was which. Just that anti word prefix threw me off. I wonder if this says, like, where does the word come from? Why are we using the word alias? This process combats aliasing, which is the jagged appearance of smooth shapes on a pixelated screen, and becomes more noticeable at lower resolutions. Yeah, I'm sure the aliasing, that word is, I'm sure there's some good reason, but I don't know what it is. So now we got to move on to the verb form of anti-alias, transitive and intransitive. In computer graphics, to smooth or blur an image or its constituent pixels when displayed on a screen, to subject, blah, 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 dot, 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 to subject to an anti-alias. So we gotta anti-alias our image when it's looking so jaggedy and stair-steppy, and let's throw an anti-alias on there, and then we'll use this one, anti-aliased adjective, will describe our image as an anti-aliased image. In computer graphics, of an image or its constituent pixels, that's the context, it is given a smoothed or blurred appearance when displayed on a screen, subjected to anti-alias stuff. It's an anti-aliased image when it's got the anti-aliasing on it. And then we will go on to the last of these related words, which is anti-aliasing. It is a noun. In computer graphics, that's the context. A smoothing or blurring process used to reduce distortions such as jagged outlines or moiré patterns that arise when an image dot dot dot. Yep. I think that is the same definition as just regular anti-alias, which was also a noun. Do you understand what this concept is now? I hope you understand. I hope you get it. Okay, now we are moving on to the word apologizing. This is the adjective. So there's the action, the act of apologizing, but this is the adjective. So you're describing something as maybe a person, as an apologizing person, which does seem like maybe this is a bit of a newer usage of this word. Maybe not that new, but it's new enough or is popular enough that it's gotten added to the dictionary. So this is, that acknowledges or expresses regret for an offense, mistake, failure, or flaw. And maybe people use this like, oh, you are such an apologizing person. You're always apologizing. You're always feeling bad for the things that you did or the things that are out there, even though they're not your fault. You're just always apologizing, so you are an apologizing person. Well, I guess I would be an apologizing person to an extent because I have to apologize a lot because I screw up a lot. Oh, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. That's not what I meant to do or say. That's the way it went. I'm so sorry. Let's move on. Let's figure out a productive solution to this going forward. Spencer is so apologizing. Next, we have appals. Is that how you would say it? APOLS. This is a noun, and it's just apologies. Used an expression of apology or regret. So instead of saying, oh, apologies, sorry, my fault, I did that, that was me, instead of saying apologies, you just say apples. Really? It's an expression of apology or regret. Do people say this? Do those young kids say apples? That's like, what are those other ones? I'm sure we'll come across them here in this new list. We just can't say the whole word. We just got to say a part of it. Okay, next we have archaeophyte. I think that is how it would be pronounced. It is A-R-C-H-A-E-O-P-H-Y-T-E. Archaeophyte. Noun. This is a non-native plant species that was introduced and became naturalized in an area a relatively long time ago. A long time ago, parentheses, it says relatively. So this archaeophyte, it's a plant that was brought in from somewhere else that's not native to this new place. It grows somewhere else and somebody brought it in. And then, oh my God, after many years of maybe 2 or 2 million, it's now naturalized to that area. It's like a citizen. A naturalized citizen who shouldn't be taken away. Sorry, I live here now. Deal with it. Archaeophyte. Next we have ARFID. All caps. A-R-F-I-D. This is a noun. And I'm going to have to look up what this acronym is. It is an eating disorder chiefly affecting infants, children, and adolescents, characterized by the avoidance of certain foods or types of foods, or by ... So, of course, I shall look this up so we can get more information on what this is. It stands for avoidant/restrictive food intake disorder. So if you are avoiding certain foods or you can't take certain foods for whatever reason, and maybe it's a lot of foods, so it has nothing to do with a distorted self-image. It's less like, these foods are not for me. So it's an eating disorder characterized by a significant limitation in the type or amount of food consumed. Unlike anorexia or bulimia, it is not driven by body image issues, or a fear of gaining weight. Let's see, what do these handy dandy infographics tell us? Let's try this one. Worsening picky eating, avoiding or refusing entire food group, sensitive to smell, texture, or temperature, only eating food of a similar color or brand, anxiety around new foods, lack of interest in food, fears around food like fear of vomiting, choking, allergy. There can be trauma related to food. Avoid social events. That's all food things. So it's, if any of those connect to you or a child in your life, then you might got the ARFID, what the scientists, the psychologist people are calling ARFID. Okay, next we have oswidumize. Did I just make up a word? No, that's really here. I don't know how to pronounce it. Aswedumize. 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 Maybe that's how you say it. It's a transitive verb, and it is to prepare for cultivation, and what you are preparing is fallow or disused land, especially for the growing of rice. Where are we using this word? Aswedumize? Aswedumize. The Google didn't like that exactly. It was like, did you mean this word? Which looks related. It's an anglicized term meaning to prepare land for paddy cultivation. That's rice cultivation. A process that involves clearing, irrigating, and leveling the ground. The word originates from the Sinhala word Aswedumá, which means land recently converted into a paddy field. So that is what it is. That's its final form. It's Pokemon final form. And then the action of it. We're going to turn this into English. The action of turning it into that thing is Aswedumize. So Sinhala. What is Sinhala? Sinhala. I don't know where. Yes, I want the language. Sri Lanka. I think a lot of rice is grown over there in Sri Lanka. Okay, Aswedumize or something like that. Next we have attuning. ATTUNING. It is a noun. It is the action or process of attuning something or of becoming attuned to something in various senses of the word attune. Also, an instance of this is an attuning. So what are you attuning yourself to? Maybe just the energy. I'm going to do an attuning myself to the energy in the room. Ooh, it's very electric because there's lots of electricity around me. No, I can't really feel this stuff. I would like to. Anything else? Attune to a social situation. That is definitely something, especially for those people who are a little bit wary of social situations. Maybe they're like, I gotta attune to this. I gotta gradually get used to it. Next we have AVO, spelled A-V-O. You probably know what this is. It's a noun, second form. It's just an avocado. Some people say avocado toast. Some people probably say AVO toast, because they can't say the whole word. Give me some avo toast. Avo toast? Avo toast. There was a time I was eating a lot of avocados. I was eating maybe I don't know, I was going through a bunch of avocados, and maybe not every day, but pretty close, maybe every other day I was eating a half or a whole or whatever, and they're very good and healthy, then it's like, nah, maybe it just got to be too much. I do like an avocado, especially in a guacamole form, flavored in some way, but, you know, I'm okay with just eating, maybe put a little garlic or something on there. I'm okay with a fairly plain avocado. I became a master at cutting those things up, opening them, getting the pit out, all that stuff. Okay, next we have Avurudu or Avurudu. Avurudu, 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 doobadoo-doo-boo. This is spelled A-V-U-R-U-D-U. Avurudu, with a capital A, by the way. A capital A, by the way. It is a noun. It is the first day of the Sinhala and Hindu New Year, occurring on the spring equinox. Also, a period of celebration marking the start of the Sinhala and dot dot dot. Probably the Sinhala and Hindu New Year. So when is this? Let's look up, when is Avurudu? Because I don't know when the Sinhalese or Hindu New Year is. This says the Sinhala and Tamil New Year is celebrated annually on April 13th and 14th. That is when they say the new year is. That's, you know, like springtime. Like, ah, things are really starting to grow and get going. That makes sense as a beginning. Right now, you know, the calendar that the whole world is using has the new year in the middle of winter. Something seems wrong about that. I don't know. The festivities begin on the 13th with the neutral time, or Punya Kalaya, the period of religious observance and rest between the old and new year. The new year officially begins on April 14th. Okay, did not know about this. It's a festival in Sri Lanka called something like Avurudu. Next we have baby loss. Now this sounds like it could be possibly very depressing. Baby loss, noun. Yep, it's death of a baby. In later use, specifically during pregnancy or during or soon after delivery, typically in context emphasizing the emotional impact of dot dot dot, I would say the emotional impact of losing the human being that you were growing in your body or getting ready for to be in your life that you have been probably trying for a long time and mentally and physically getting ready for it. And it's your own child, whether it's genetically your child or not. The death of a baby is one of, I'm sure, the worst possible things that somebody could go through. Baby loss. And I think, you know, just from like a mental health standpoint, this term was then created. You are dealing with baby loss. Yeah, my baby died. Thank God I've never had to deal with baby loss. Just cat loss. Okay, next is bag drop. Two words, noun. It's at an airport. This is a facility where outbound passengers can drop off any checked bags or luggage for transfer to a plane's hold. Also, the action of dot dot dot. The action of dropping off your bag, maybe? Yeah, go take your bag to the bag drop. I have had to deal with this before, and it was not a thing, so now it's a thing. At airports, you know, you gotta go check your bags, but a lot of airports, you know, once you check your bags, they're like, you gotta take it over there to that other place, to that bag drop. I'm not taking that bag. You got to drop it off at the right place. Like, come on. Can't you just take it? I don't want to drag it all over there. It's so heavy. Bag drop. All right, next. Oh, this is a good one. This is a newer-ish phrase. It is bag of dicks. Three words, noun. It is coarse slang. This isn't just slang. This is coarse slang. It is, in various expressions, used to convey hostile or contemptuous dismissal, especially to suck or eat a bag of dicks. Oh my God, this is so funny that it's in here. I love that so much. Go eat a bag of dicks. Go suck a bag of dicks. Go find a bag of dicks and eat it with a knife and fork. Why is it? Oh man, I would love to know who invented this. Who was the first one to say a bag of dicks? You know this is just some phrase that just popped out of somebody's mouth. They did not prepare it whatsoever. They're like, they're just trying to be, they're just yelling at somebody. And they're like, go eat a bag of dicks? That's probably how it came out. Oh, it's such a good phrase. Yeah, I think you should use this just for fun. Maybe you could try to use it in a less contemptuous way. Maybe in a nice, fun way. Oh my God, I'm so happy for you. You should go eat a bag of dicks. All right, next we have bagatine. B-A-G-A-T-I-N-E. It could be bagatine. This is a noun, and it is a small copper coin used in some Italian states from the medieval period of the 17th century, originally and traditionally worth a quarter of a dot, dot, dot. A quarter of a what? A quarter of a lira? Didn't they used to use liras in Italy? It can also be a surname, a last name. I guess there are people with the last name Bagatine. Bagatine. Small coin, or it could also be the name of a racehorse. These are all options. Let's see. Bagatino, I guess, would be another name for the coin. I'm trying to find out more information about this coin. Let's just look up a bagatine coin then. What is it? A quarter of a what? Let's see. A copper or silver coin. Originating as a small denaro, it was worth a quarter of a quattrino and was most famously minted by the Republic of Venice, where 12 bagatini equaled one soldo. The term bagatino can also refer to similar small coins used in other Italian states. So you get a quattrino and four bagatines is a quattrino. And 12 bagatinis, or bagatini, is one soldo. So then if you... So then, wait, what's the conversion of quattrino to soldo? So we got four of those there, and 12 of them there, so by three. So would it be three quattrino is one soldo? Maybe? Okay. Very good information. We are now moving on to baggy pants. Two words with a hyphen. This is an adjective. Designating or relating to a genre of slapstick comedy featuring clownish, bumbling characters typically dressed in baggy trousers and other dot, dot, dot. Other baggy clothes, I guess? Oh, that's some good baggy pants comedy right there. Ah, his pants are so baggy and big, he's tripping all over his pants. I love baggy pants comedy. Whee. All right, we're going to do one more for this episode, which is baggy wrinkle. Yes, it is the words baggy and wrinkle combined into one word. Like, you got the baggy pants and you got the wrinkles on your face. This is a noun. It is a material used to prevent rigging from chafing, made by weaving many short strands of rope, the edges of which are left to fray across two long strands. Baggy wrinkle. It's a material. So is this on the boats? The sailing boats, maybe? Oh, bring out your baggy wrinkle. A soft... Oh, here. Let's look up images. I got to see these images. Yes. Okay, interesting. This is just a long fabric. It looks almost like a fur in some of these contexts that's... strung out, I guess, so when like the sails or something are moving along it prevents them maybe from because it looks like it's on a rope, so when the sail or whatever goes against the rope, then it's not going to get worn away because the rope is so so rough and coarse, and so they put this softer stuff on there to be like, hey sail, you're good, you're not going to get worn away. I'm a baggy wrinkle, and I'm here to make things nice for you. Yep, you got to go to the sailing store and buy some baggy wrinkle, and you put it on your rope. It looks like, I guess, baggy wrinkle. That's like just a good term, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Obviously, I know that. All right, thank you very much for checking out this show. We got more coming, and that's it. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Go eat a bag of dicks. Goodbye.